welcome to another episode of Travel Stories with Mosh, the first travel podcast in the Middle East. So if you love the world around you and you love exploring different landscapes, cultures, cuisines and cities, then you are in the right place, because here every week I'll be talking to an incredible travel enthusiast who will take us on a fascinating journey around the world by sharing their travel stories. On the podcast today, I am joined by a travel couple who have together traveled to 61 countries and 6 continents. They are engineers by profession, but travelers by passion. I'm so delighted to be joined by one of UAE's very popular travel influencers, Delaine and Jackson. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today, and really looking forward to all the journeys that you both are going to take us to. So tell me, how did this whole travel influencer bit started for both of you? I know you've been traveling for a while, but let's start with the travel influencer bit.
Okay, so our first trip was in 2010 when we visited Switzerland, and it was an escorted tour. Mm-hmm. So while traveling around in Switzerland and Geneva, Lausanne, Lucerne and Engelberg and all, we realized that we want to keep doing this, mm-hmm. and explore more countries and continents and document them so that other travelers could get pulled into this kind of environment and know more about it, seeing that there's a world outside their comfort zone and they can go explore and talk to other like-minded people to get more information.
So just pretty much started very, it happened organically, you would say.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Like I said in my introduction, you've traveled to 61 countries together. Yeah. So out of all this, of course, I'm going to come to the most important question to begin the podcast. Where will you be taking us on a journey today?
Okay, so I'll be taking you to Rovaniemi.
Okay.
It's in Finland.
Mm-hmm.
It's the north of Finland. So it's a part of North Lapland, Finnish Lapland, which is in the north. And
it's basically the hometown, the official hometown of Santa Claus.
Okay.
Okay, so the moment you land in the airport, it'll be like, welcome to the hometown of Santa Claus. And then you...
So this is with or without Christmas season?
Yes.
Okay.
So you
so it's Christmas any time of the year when you go there.
And you have Santa at the airport and elves at the airport.
Right.
So
how wonderful.
Yes.
Yeah. And you have so once you go, the main thing about Rovaniemi is like a lot of countries lie on the Arctic Circle, but Rovaniemi is the only place where you can actually cross the Arctic Circle.
Mm.
So that's one thing.
You reach the Santa Claus village and then there's a point which shows the temperature and the Arctic's line,
circle through.
So you can cross, take pictures and tell, I've just crossed the Arctic line.
Okay.
Yeah, so
and then you have reindeer rides there. You can see reindeer. Then you can even eat reindeer. They have reindeer burgers as well.
Okay.
And unfortunately, we couldn't see the northern lights, but if you're lucky, you can see the northern lights as well in Rovaniemi. So it's got a bit of everything, you know.
So what's so special about the place, apart from the fact that it's, you know, the home of Santa Claus? Why would you, you know, recommend this place, and what are the other things that, you know, you can go? Is it just the vibe and this whole, you know, Christmassy feeling, and just, you know, to know that, you know, Santa Claus actually kind of originated from there? Like, what is it really, which is so very interesting over there?
First, if you hear about Santa Claus, it's like a myth or anything. But then when you visit this place, it's so magical.
Mm.
And you actually get to meet Santa Claus. There's a meet and greet.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Which is the appointed Santa Claus, really.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay.
And plus, you have in that place, Rovaniemi, you have... other things which you can do is like you can stay in an Arctic hotel, which is built by igloos, and then covered
the
with
northern lights
from that. So it's transparent. And then they send you an alert saying we have a strong
auroras.
Yeah.
It's like a bubble hotel.
Yeah, bubble hotel,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then made of this thing. And you can view the northern lights or from your hotel room.
We actually got out of the hotel at night, and you know, it was like I think around minus 15 degrees. Okay, we're like, let's just go near the bridge and maybe see whether we have some luck with the lights. Mm-hmm. And we wore this. People are like, you know, what are these fools taking their hotel blankets? Okay,
yeah.
We wrapped ourselves and we went under a bridge, And we looked up and there was nothing.
Nothing, yes.
So it was like bad luck. We couldn't see. We were there for like 3 days and we couldn't see anything.
But with the northern lights, you can't really tell. Yeah. I mean, you might see them, you might not see them. But even so, it was like completely worth it as a journey for you.
Yeah. And then plus in this, you can do a reindeer ride.
Husky rides.
Snowmobile. And snowmobile is equipped with a heater so that you can still enjoy while warming up your...
So it's a fun place to go to and experience this whole Christmassy vibe and you get to meet Santa Claus.
And then winter is really magical because it's all snow and it's... You see the street
decorated,
covered with snow, decorated. It's really nice.
So it's fun for kids as well as for adults.
Definitely.
Yes, definitely. At the same time. And like you said, you know, you can go at any time of the year.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. But then if you want to enjoy snow, you have to start from...
October at least.
Yeah, October onwards till March. And then that's when you'll get maximum snow. You'll get those vibes of
So it's
winter.
A special place, you would say, because it's very different from other places.
Yes, unique, definitely.
So we have Rovaniemi in Finland, which... for you guys is special because of so many special and fun things that you did. But, you know, while you started your traveling, you of course started your traveling journey around 2010, 2011. You didn't think that this would kind of become you know, a part-time job for you, you know, along with traveling and experiencing the world. But as you were growing up or in the journey of life, was there any special place that struck with you and, you know, that kind of called out to you and said to you that, hey, you know, I love traveling. I want to keep doing this, whether I travel once a year or twice a year. But, you know, something that kind of told you in your traveling life that made you kind of feel that you love travel.
It wouldn't be a place really, but
I would always
be excited to, you know, even though it was India, like every year for a month, I would always be excited to go on a plane and the plane food and the window seats, those things would really like, you know,
the whole process was exciting for you.
Yeah,
that process
was exciting. Yeah.
Yeah. And for you?
For me, I would say my first trip, like a solo trip with my friends, that got me into a mood to start traveling, that keep aside some amount of money and then save up and then use it for travel.
And where did you go?
My first trip was to Thailand with my friends.
Yeah. So, you know, 61 countries so far. So which would you say is your like all-time favorite destination and why?
Japan is special.
We were monitoring the sakura or cherry blossom season and seeing where we can get the maximum or full bloom, what they call it.
Yeah.
And then why Japan? It's such a futuristic country.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. They have like a machine for like a vending machine for everything, like for chargers, for anything basically. And even, have you seen their toilets?
Yeah.
Their toilets are, you know, it's like, it's different.
It's like you don't want to get out of
the
toilet.
The music, they have like heated
seats. Yeah, it's cold outside.
And the people there are really, really
very
nice.
Oh my God,
They can't speak English.
They can't speak English,
but
they're so
really
nice.
Very nice. Yeah.
But their hospitality.
Amazing.
And then, it's like they just bow down. Even when a train comes in and stops at their stop, they bow down.
But what was your favorite part of Japan?
I think for me, it was being able to see the cherry blossoms.
Mm-hmm. But what was your favorite city or place?
I would say Osaka. Mm-hmm. Because when you get into the city center, it's... you'll go crazy with all the food things in it. There's another place I could say in Tokyo which is known for its video game.
Akibahara. That was something.
Yeah.
So of course, you know, now Japan's, I think we can just go on talking about Japan. Yes. It's one of my favorite places as well. But, you know, tell me about some travel bloopers because we... obviously always want to remember the good parts, but you know, there are things happen when we travel, you know, anything that has happened, which we can call a travel blooper.
Yeah. Uruguay would be that place, which I could say, but
it's not a bad place or anything, but we loved Uruguay, but then we had a couple of mishaps though in between.
We landed in Argentina and then we took a ferry. From Buenos Aires to Colonia del Sacramento.
So I'm there at the counter. Jackson's already checked everything. And this lady is at the counter, she's looking at my passport, she's like, look, you know, I'm like, what's going on? And then finally, Jason comes to my side and he's like, what's happening? And they have no idea where Abu Dhabi is. And he's like, your embassy in Abu Dhabi stamped this thing. Yeah. And then she goes inside and then two of them come outside. Everyone's checking my passport. Like, where is this Abu Dhabi?
Yeah,
and where?
It was in the morning.
I think we took the, because we like to travel early, you know, to make the most of the day.
Of it.
Yeah. So she's looking at my passport and she's like, and finally, like after 45 minutes, she stamps it, okay? Once we got to like Colonia, it was a really nice place. Yeah. We hired a buggy and we roamed around
electric
the place.
Electric vehicle.
I enjoyed Uruguay so much.
And they have really nice meats there.
Yes.
Yeah. So
meats. Even their wine is very, the asado, which is also the Brazilian wine. Their wines are very good. They have very good wineries.
We had like a liter of wine and different cuts of meat for only like 35 dirhams, you know? So it's a very affordable place and it's a beautiful place.
And it's beautiful and Colonia is really beautiful.
Yeah. It was a nice experience. People were nice. It's like you can't...
just a little bit hitch. But also they're so far away.
Yes.
And just a little, you know, corner of the world really. And they do not have very many visitors.
Yes.
Exactly. So, you know, for them to react the way they did with you, you know, it's not very surprising. But yeah, of course, you know, these are good stories. Like I did not have any of that. I had great experiences, but then in Uruguay, and then you all had this experiences. So, you know, it's like that when you travel, right? Things happen.
Yes.
But but would you go back to Uruguay if you had to?
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So what would be like, you know, your hidden gem? I mean, you've been traveling so much. What, according to you, is your hidden gem?
So there's this place called Bintang Cave in Hermanus, Western
South
Cape,
South Africa.
Which not many know of it, unless you're doing a road trip. So we parked our car and you won't see. It's like sea view. And then after that, there was a small sign showing there's a restaurant.
So the name of a restaurant in Hermanus?
Yeah, it's called Bintang's Cave.
Okay.
So the cave is basically located under the road. So if you're on top, you don't know it's a cave. You know,
how fascinating. Because I've been to Hermanus. I don't know about this restaurant.
Another fact about this is that's the only cave which is famous for its land-based whale watching site. So you sit and have your burgers or your seafood and you can see all different kinds of whales behind.
So this particular restaurant is really a hidden gem then in Hermanus.
So you have to be there before October because I think that's the time when these whales are migrating.
Because Bintang's Cave in Hermanus and it's the only perhaps land-based whale watching point in the world.
Yes.
Wow, that's really fascinating. Now, because we are talking about food, let's talk about food a little more.
Okay.
And if you could travel around the world in a day, where would you want to have your breakfast, lunch and dinner?
Okay, so for breakfast, we probably go to the Dresden Christmas market. Okay,
go to Dresden for breakfast.
Yes, Dresden Christmas market.
Wow.
So I think they open around 9-ish, something like
or
that.
10,
and 9 or 10 in the morning. And they have like, they have, I think, maybe 500 stalls of food and handicrafts and everything. And
in the old town?
In the old town. So they have what? They have grilled meats. They have pretzels, hot wine, which is acceptable to have during...
Mulled
wine, exactly.
Yeah.
And hot chocolates.
I would never think of Dresden as a foodie destination. Amazing. So Dresden for breakfast.
Dresden for breakfast, yeah.
And then for lunch, I'll take you to Istanbul, Turkey, where you can have a specialty which is served near Galata Tower, which is called Kokoreç. It's a unique kind of sandwich which they serve there.
Have you tried
it? So it's made out of sheep intestine, which is not so good to hear when people talk about it.
Wow, okay.
And then they mix it with the... a little bit of meat, fat, and the sheep intestine. It looks like a big kebab, which is rolled like a shawarma, grilled like a shawarma.
And they slice it this way.
What's it called?
Kokoreç.
Kokoreç, okay.
Yeah. And they put it in a bread. Cut a slice of this meatloaf, I can see. And then chop it up, put in some spices, and they put it in a roll bread and serve it and... give it to you, and then that flavor is amazing.
The guy was worried for us. He's like,
Are you okay?
Are you okay to try this thing? We're like, no, we're okay because I've done some research online. We'll do it. We'll try it. And
Was it really good?
Yeah. I mean, for us, it was good, but others, even if they think about it, they might, I don't know, but they might like it.
But with food also, you have to be a little experimental and you have to be willing to kind of, let's try it, because if you don't try, you don't know. I love foodies on the podcast. So what about dinner now? We're doing lunch in Istanbul, having this amazing meatloaf, as Jackson has described it. So let's talk about dinner. Where is dinner?
Dinner is in Bangkok, in Chinatown. Yeah. So we went to this the Bangkok Chinatown. Okay, they have Michelin food kiosks there. And it's not Michelin restaurants. It's not restaurants only. Even the small carts on the road,
they have Michelin stars.
Yes. That was really surprising. You know, it shows the quality of food there.
So Bangkok for dinner, for sure. And because you guys are such foodies and we've kind of traveled around the world with you, and we know where to have all the three meals in a day if you could in different parts of the world. But what about the UAE? You both live in Abu Dhabi and you've been in the UAE for a very long time. So what if you had to pick three places in the UAE to have your breakfast, lunch and dinner? What would you pick? Where would you pick?
Okay, so for breakfast, I would take you to a Indian restaurant, which is called Sangam. For
South
Indian restaurant.
In Abu Dhabi?
In Abu Dhabi, which is famous for its dosas and vadas and idlis. Being from South India, I could relate to it.
Of course, yeah, of course.
And then that would be my breakfast, where you could go and order something called a mini tiffin, which has small portions of each and every thing what they have on their menu for the day.
Yeah.
So you get to try without ordering a single big meal.
Yeah, that's a South Indian breakfast for you. Okay.
That would be my breakfast.
For lunch, we'll probably go for something fancy. That's the at the Sadia Rotana. They have a brunch at Sim Sim every Saturday. And that's probably the only brunch that I've seen where they serve caviar. I've never seen a brunch that serves caviar, okay?
Nice. Yeah. I want to go there.
The food there is amazing. We usually don't go for like a lot of brunches, but this place is really worth going. Mainly for their lobsters, okay? They have these blue lobsters and they're amazing, okay? And plus they
have... So this is Sim Sim at the Rotana.
Yes.
Delicious,
And then another exclusive part is they have a steak covered with gold.
Oh, yeah.
And then you can cut it to whatever.
Come on, we're in the UAE, right? We kind of steal the gold,
And dinner, I will take you to a place in Abu Dhabi, which is called Bonani.
Okay.
It's European restaurant.
It's Ethiopian. So you eat in those on those big plates.
Yeah. So they have this concept that everyone sits around the table and then digs into the plate.
Yeah.
That's where my dinner would be.
Okay, fabulous. We have some really amazing places for all three meals. I am kind of really looking forward to going to the Rotana now and trying Sim Sim just for the caviar. And I mean, you can have caviar anywhere, but you know, having it as part of a brunch menu is special. So let's talk about experiences. And because you guys have been here pretty much all your life, which is that one experience in the UAE that you would highly recommend that people should do when they visit, or even for people who are listening right now?
Definitely visiting the Sheikh Zayed Grand Mosque.
The Grand Mosque.
I mean, there are a lot of places here. But then...
The Grand Mosque in Abu Dhabi is spectacular.
I think they have... They have like a 24-karat gold chandeliers there.
Yeah, carpet is the biggest knotted carpet in the world.
Yeah. So you definitely highly recommend that when people visit, or if people who are listening right now haven't visited the Grand Mosque, that they should. And
because people basically, people come only to Dubai. They never come to Abu Dhabi, you know.
No, that's so worth it. Yeah. It's absolutely worth it. It's so, so beautiful, actually. Yeah. So, you know... Of course, we've been to many, many places. And I love the fact that, you know, you guys have special memories of a lot of places that I have special memories of as well, including Uruguay. Yeah. So now what is next on your travel list? You know, what is up there, you know, top of your list that you still want to tick mark?
So we want to visit the Baltic countries. We definitely want to visit Latvia and Lithuania. We want to visit Egypt as well.
Well, I wish you all the best and thank you so much for these fascinating journeys that you took us to. And I hope you get to go to all these places that are up there on your bucket list. Delaine and Jackson, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast
today. Thank you for having us here.
This was wonderful. And I wish you all the best. And I hope you keep traveling and keep inspiring people to travel the world and see the world and get those amazing experiences.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in today. I hope our conversations have fueled your wanderlust and inspired you to travel the world in new and exciting ways. Please don't forget to hit that subscribe button if you haven't already, and let us know what you thought of today's episode. Until the next time, safe travels and keep exploring.